that he said, "Brother Eddie, I'm preaching right now." He said, "We'll talk after the service. I'll be glad to answer your questions." But Sunday school is an opportunity where you can say, "Brother Eddie, I got a question."
Right.
And Sunday school is an extra opportunity to answer your questions and address those questions. So let me encourage you. I know it's not as easy for some as it is for others. And I appreciate Brother Ed being here. If he wasn't here, I guess just me and Lord have a little talk, have a little prayer. But if you can't teach to one, you can't teach to 100. Let me say that so you'll understand why. I don't have a problem, Brother Ed, being on one here. I ain't got a problem with that at all. But, I would like to see more people in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And if it's where you can, let me encourage you to come. And it's an excellent opportunity to learn some Bible. It's an excellent opportunity to ask some questions. And anyway, I don't know if y'all noticed that we've got record numbers here showing up for a service Sunday morning. I praise God for that.
Amen.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's easy to pray for this bunch because there's just a few. This little church, just a little preacher like myself, I name each one of you, name one by one, starting my back, working my way to the front. It's fairly easy to name all of y'all. It's just a few of us. But Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, "Lo, I'm in the midst."
Amen.
So it ain't like we've got to have a multitude no man can number of every kindred, tongue, and nation. We just got to have at least two or three, and He said He'd be there. Now, me and Ed makes two, so that's enough for us to have Sunday school. But the more the merrier, if you know what I mean. Our text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 4. Just going to read one verse this morning. I try to just get right in this message. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm only going to read verse number 7. And we'll do our best to preach this thought. God stirred my heart. It's amazing. I mean, I'm as amazed as y'all are. But God stirs my heart every week to the intent I know what He wants me to preach on. I didn't prepare this message till this morning. I gave God the benefit that if He wanted to change it, He could. But I prepared this message this morning. I waited on the Lord to make sure. But I'm convinced this is what He wants me to preach this morning. And our text is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And I'll read this one verse. We'll go to God in prayer and I'll do my best to deliver this message. Peter here doing the speaking. And he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now, I want to preach today on the end is near, or the end is coming, and pray with me. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, for this number of people that are before us today for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that God, You blessed the singing already. It's been a blessing, Lord, to hear the songs of Zion sung. Lord, to hear the name of Jesus exalted in song and in praise. I thank You for the shouting. I thank You, Lord, dear Father, for the rejoicing in our presence today. The Lord that proceeded from the singing. Lord, there is peace in the valley for us. You provided not just the valley, but Lord, You provided also the peace that we can make it through. We're thankful for that. I'm thankful, Father, Lord, to know that Lord, that my name's in the book of life, that my sin is on the blood. I'm thankful, Lord, that if the end would come today, Lord, I'm ready to meet You. Lord, I don't have anything left undone. My house is in order. And I'm ready to meet You at Your coming. You said many would be ashamed when You showed up. And Lord, I wish God today that we could say we're not going to be ashamed, but we're going to be excited and we're going to welcome You coming. Help us, Lord, today in this message. Lord, I pray You give me clarity of thought. Help me not to stutter in the things I need to say. And Lord, help me not to go beyond what You'd have said. And for whatever You do, I'll give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Now, everything has a beginning, everything has an end, and everything in life. Man, I don't know about y'all. I get no joy out of going to the funeral home or to the graveyard. But out there in the graveyard and at the funeral home, you can see where life is ended. We just got so many days. They're numbered. Job chapter 7, verse 1 said, there are appointed days for man upon the earth. I don't know how many has been appointed unto me. I'm 64 years old. I'm as amazed as everybody else is about still being here. But I know one thing. I'm living numbered days. I don't know how far I'm going to go in this life. Some of you are older than me, and at least this little girl here is younger than me. But you know one thing about it, we're all in this same dilemma.
Right.
We just don't know what day it's going to be.
Right, we don't.
I'm on the news a lot. I like to watch the news. I know enough Bible to sort it out and put it in perspective. But on the news, I noticed there was a young girl that had died in a car wreck. She was trying to make a selfie of herself, and everybody in the car had seatbelts on. She did too, Carolyn. She took the seatbelt off to make the selfie. Only thing is, you got to be still while you're pushing the button and the car's moving. And the car wrecked. She was thrown out. She died instantly. And a teenager come to the end of her life, in my opinion, making a foolish decision.
Yeah.
But, you know, her life ended. The others went on. That's kind of the way our life is. An old song says, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Who'll be the next to be called out to face eternity? We know not who 'twill be. Maybe it's you, or maybe it's me. But not just in our own lives, but also in this world, in the events of this world. I mean, if God doesn't come, they're going to kill themselves.
Yeah.
But you know, in your car,
right.
we're going to self-destruct. But on your car, in the passenger mirror, it says objects in this mirror are closer than they appear. That's pretty good.
That's right.
Philosophy for our life.
Yeah, it is.
The end is closer than we appear. We think it's going to be a long ways off. If I knew I was going to die today, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, or if I knew I was going to die next week, there's probably a lot of things that I'd try to get done. Now, my pastor said when he was in school, one of his teachers gave a quiz. And he said, I want you to take a piece of paper, and if you knew you was going to die tomorrow, he said, or even today, I want you to write down everything that you would do. And some of them wrote down, I'd call my friends, we'd party down and all this. And one of them had a blank piece of paper. And Rick said that he was really hoping that this teacher would call upon him because him being saved and everything, he thought, I'd tell all my friends and he'd get ready to meet the Lord and all that right there. But the one guy that had the, he said, has anybody got anything different? This one guy said, I do. He said, what do you got? He said, I got a blank piece of paper. He said, why have you got a blank piece of paper? He said, because I should have already had it done. Rick said, I was so glad he didn't call upon me. But that's how this life is.
Yeah.
We ought to already have it done.
Right.
Now, is there anybody in here expecting to leave today? Well, it could happen.
Yes, it could.
I done a funeral one time. My aunt called me, asked me to do the funeral of her father, John David Smith. I don't know if anybody knows John David Smith. He was a carpenter, a really good carpenter. But I done his funeral. His grandson, my cousin, Chuck Gunnels, was an honorary pallbearer. He's sitting on the front row. I done John David Smith's funeral, and I done the best I could. And I had no idea, and my cousin had no idea, that I'd do his funeral within 2 weeks. He's a young man. Died of a heart attack, massive heart attack, failed dead. I done his funeral. Well, sitting back behind him was my aunt June Wallace, Keith Wallace's wife, which if Harvey was here, he knows my Uncle Keith. Within 2 more weeks, my Aunt June passed away, and I remember doing her funeral when I was a young boy, a little towhead boy. My Aunt June would take me to church, and I remember riding over in a black and white 57 Chevrolet station wagon with a checkerboard interior with that little chrome horse and buggy up there on the hood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember riding to church with them. And, you know, I was down in a box of rocks. I really didn't go for the right reason. I just went just to get out of the house and go. But my aunt was carrying a preacher around, and she didn't know it. And one day I would do her funeral, and I did not know that. And I mentioned that at her funeral, and it had been a blessing to her family. That's kind of the way our life is. We just don't know. We may leave today.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about. Peter said the end of all things is at hand. There's nothing to keep the Lord from coming. In Sunday school this morning, Brother Ed asked me where that passage was about the Lord coming in spring. And I shared it with him. He shared something with me that I hadn't really picked up on about the turtle. And you know, the Lord has already distinctly said in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 10 through, I believe, 13, that He's going to come in the spring. We don't know if it's going to be this spring. But you can tell by the passage that He's going to come in the spring for His church. Now, when He comes, and I'm going to preach about this here in a minute. I'm kind of buying my time here just a little bit. When He comes, a lot of things are going to change. But your mirror on your car has a great message.
Yes,
things are closer than they appear. Yesterday, I went in Houchin's grocery store. We grilled out yesterday. The granddaughter wanted shoulder. I wanted pork chops, so we compromised. I got a package of pork chops and a package of the shoulder. Made everybody happy. I mean, blessed are the peacemakers, you know what I mean? I have to admit, boy, it was really good. But as I went into Houchins, to my expectation or unexpectation, to my surprise, the Boy Scouts were there soliciting donations. Now, y'all probably don't keep up with things like I do, and I probably keep up with it too much. But I went in as a young boy there, and he said, "Sir, would you like to support the Boy Scouts?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I would like to support the Boy Scouts, but you've made it where I can't."
Yeah.
I said, "You've done something I can't support." Now, I'm going to be real clear right here so you'll understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was a big mistake when we welcomed the gay leadership into the Boy Scouts.
Amen.
It didn't stop there.
No.
I mean, a little leaven, you got to be careful allowing things, because some things just keep going like a snowball.
That's
well,
right.
When they allowed the gay leadership, of course, who could find anything? I mean, hey, you know, God's love and all that right there. Let me tell you something. God's angry with the sinners. God's angry with the wicked every day.
Yes, He is.
Psalms chapter 7, I think it's verse 14. He's angry.
That's right.
God has no pleasure in death with the wicked. I just want you to know that. But listen, there's some things right and some things wrong.
Right.
There's some things white, some things black. They're never going to be gray. And the wrong's right. never going to be right, and the right's never going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But look, they allowed these gay leaders to come into our Boy Scouts. And now, if this makes any sense, now they want girls to join the Boy Scouts. What's wrong with the Girl Scouts?
That's right.
Don't we have Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts?
Yeah.
Well, the confusion and the nonsense is going to end. And that's why Peter said the end of all things is at hand. It shouldn't have never went that far.
That's right.
But it's not going to go too much further. I mean, God, when He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, mentioned in 2 Peter, He said He overthrew it with an overthrow. He rained down fire and brimstone upon them, making them an ensample unto all that should hereafter live ungodly.
Mm.
I just want you to know, God set a standard. God is the standard bearer. I'm just telling you, buddy, it's His way or the highway. And man has been the biggest problem God's ever had to deal with. God made everything, made it good, put His blessing on it. Here come man along. God had to curse the earth for Adam's sake. He had to curse it for Cain's sake. And He's still cursing it because of Noah's day. He had to destroy the whole planet and start all over again. Because all flesh had crept His way up on the earth. But I want you to know, the same God that sent the flood, the same God that sent the fire, He says the end of all things is at hand. And I could not condone, nor could I give or support what the Boy Scouts have become. And I tried to be nice. My pastor said, "If you're unkind, you're the wrong kind." I tried to be nice about it. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says clearly, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. That's mentioned twice. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. God wanted to make sure we didn't miss that.
Yeah.
You know, it might seem right to you. You might say, "Well, I've really seen nothing wrong with it." No, when you hear this, nevertheless, what's said in the Scripture, that means we need to just get back to the Bible.
That's
That's right.
And, you know, it's instruction in righteousness that we might know how well to live.
Yeah.
We might live righteous, godly, and soberly. We might be able to give an account to God one day that we did reverence His word and His will and His way down here. But listen, the end is coming.
Yeah, it sure is.
Some things I'm really happy about. The pleasures of sin is going to end. Hebrews 11:25. The Bible said Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All my friends, most of them are all dead because they went down that road enjoying the pleasures of sin. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Look, it doesn't make no difference whether they see anything wrong with it or what I see anything wrong with it. It caused their life to be cut off.
That's right.
Now, when you read Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, and it says, "He that then often reproved hardeneth his neck." What that means is, you used to listen. What'd you say?
Yeah.
But you've done got now set in your way. Read it, that hardened the neck.
Yeah.
He that then often see preaching, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season,
yes,
out of season."
Right.
He said, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and be turned from the truth to fables."
Yeah.
I just want you to know, he that been often reproved, they say, "I don't want to hear that."
Yeah.
Well, look, I agree it's a free country. I don't know if anything's wrong in America anymore or not. I think they've legalized everything.
Yeah.
If there's anything they haven't legalized, they soon will.
Yeah.
They've legalized everything.
Amen.
And like I said, the Sneed family come out with a new song called "You've Made God Against the Law." And it's a good song.
Yeah.
Man, that makes sense. That "You've Made God Against the Law." You can mention the name of anybody but Jesus. You mention the name Jesus, they're going to crucify you.
Yeah.
You mention anything about living for God and doing right, and you'll suffer such criticism and sarcasm. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men speak evil of you for my name's sake, for great's your reward in heaven." But listen, I'm going back to my verse. I'm going to try to stay with this time. "He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed."
Amen.
And that without remedy. That means there's no cure. That means, buddy, he finally got what he deserved. The Bible said, "Boast not of tomorrow," in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, "for you know not what a day may bring."
Right.
All my friends, they went down the path of sin. And it was a dead end street. They died. Every one I grew up with, every one that I knew from my youth up, they're all gone. I'm the last Mohican. I don't know why I was spared, but I'll tell you one thing. I thank God that I obtained mercy. I thank God that I've come out of that mess, and I know better now, and they should have known better themselves. But listen, the pleasures of sin will end. The drug dealing's going to end. The bootlegging's going to end. The sexual sins are going to end. By the way, God put clear instructions in the Bible about sex.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled.
That's right.
But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge."
Yeah.
God judged Samson, blinded him. But then God was merciful to him, restored his strength long enough to commit not just suicide, but he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life.
Yeah.
But listen, the sexual sins, the sex trafficking is going to end. The child molesting, the child abuse, the doubting is going to end. The scoffing and the slander and the laughter, it's all going to end. The end's coming, my friend. And let me tell you this, judgment will be served. This world will be made to drink of the wrath of God, Revelation 14:10. And there's no other option offered. I'm glad, praise God, I got the mercy. I'll take mercy over wrath any day.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm allergic to pain. I'll just tell you right now, I don't like pain. There's any way around. I went to the dentist one day. He said, "What's your biggest concern?" I said, "Pain." He said, "We can get around that." He shot me a Novocaine to point. I couldn't pour water in my lip for 3 days. He said, "Can you feel that?" I said, "What?" He said, "We're ready now." I didn't even know I had a head, much less a toothache. I'm telling you, I appreciate that dentist. So my biggest concern, he said, "We can fix it." That Novocaine worked wonders. I didn't know I had him, even had a tooth. Listen, there's no other option offered. God offered His Son, take Him and live. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Oh, listen, the pleasures of sin is going to end.
Yeah.
The privilege of having a home in heaven is going to end.
Amen.
Look, those 10 virgins mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, notice, only 5 went in. The door got shut on the other 5 and it never was opened again. The grace is going to end. The mercy is going to end. The space offered to repent is going to end.
Yeah.
The outreach of the hand of God to sinners is going to end. God said, "How long will you set at naught my counsel?" He said, "I've stretched out my hand all the day long." In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 24. And He said, "No man regarded." It's going to end. There'll be a fearful looking unto judgment upon this world. They'll know that the end is coming.
Yeah, amen.
Now let me explain to you. We're the reason the end hadn't came yet.
That's right. Yes, we are.
The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "We've not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ." What that means is, Sister Rita, that if I had to go through the tribulation, He'd have to go through it with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go through it, so we're going to be taken out. And as soon as we're taken out, the Antichrist is going to show up as an imposter.
Yeah.
He's going to try to dupe this world, and for lack of better words, they're going to fall for a hook, line, and sinker. Jesus said about that. He said, "If another come in His name, him you receive.
Right.
I come in my Father's name, you receive me not." They're going to receive a lie, and they're going to be damned because they receive not the love of the truth. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, we're what's holding all that back. If Antichrist showed up right now, I'm going to point a finger, and I'm going to expose him.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you see, light dispels darkness. You can get in the darkest cave. I've been at Mammoth Cave Park. We skipped school one time. I took the headlight out of my motorcycle battery. That's Sister Joanne. And I took the battery out of my motorcycle. And I'm holding two wires on this little light button. We're going through Salt Beach Cave. We skipped school. We're guilty as guilty can be. We got back there where that hole is in the ground back there. You can drop a rock and you can't hear it hit, and the light burned out. We had to feel our way out of that cave. We're scared to death.
Right.
And rightly so. I mean, who would have done something like that? You have to be really young and really dumb to do something like that. We're back there by that hole, and the light bulb burns out. What good's a battery without a light bulb? We had a good battery, no light bulb. I should have brought another light bulb, but I only had that one. But anyway, that little bitty light bulb dispelled the darkness of that cave. And when that light bulb burned out, Carolyn, you couldn't see your hand right here.
Right.
I mean, it was a darkness the Bible talked about when God brought the judgment upon Egypt. It said it was a darkness that could be felt.
That's right.
I couldn't see it. You could only feel it. I couldn't see it.
Right.
I knew I still had my hands. I could feel them, but I couldn't see them. Anyway, we made it out of that thing by the mercy and grace of God. But oh me, listen. We're holding back the Antichrist. The privilege of having a home in heaven. It's going to end. And there's going to be a fearful looking under judgment. Let me say this. The pleading's going to end. God's pleading with people right now.
Yes, He is.
He said, "Won't you come?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Won't you let me help you?"
Amen.
God plead. He pleaded with me, Mitchell. And you know, I hate to say it like this, but I didn't really respond like I should have.
Amen.
Let me elaborate on that. I think I've got time to do this. When I was 18 years old, still in my sins, in my filth, I had a fast blue ribbon beer in my hand and a long neck black brown bottle, you know what I'm talking about, in the bottle where you got them in the case.
Yeah.
And I saw my godly grandfather. Now, Brother Ed was talking about the Sunday school about having a godly mother and how she shared with him some things out of the Bible. Well, in my case, I had a godly grandfather. His name was Edgar Gunnels. And oh my, he was 10 foot tall for God. Man, he just didn't give up. Carolyn, he just didn't give up.
Amen.
He never did that. He never did let no be the end of
brother.
He kept coming.
Right.
He kept pleading. He kept praying.
Amen.
I'm going to speak because I want to honor him here.
Yes.
But I saw him.
Amen.
I saw he lived back behind us. I saw him step out. I'm sitting here drinking this pale blue ribbon. I saw him coming, and his big lanky legs moving. And he got up there to me, Brother Jerry, and his glasses was about an inch thick. It made his eyeballs look like bowling balls, and there were big tears running out of them. And he said, "Boy, I had that beard behind my back. And you know, like I'm going to be able to hide," which he already knew I had it. "And I had that beard behind my back, Rita." And he came up to me, tears tooting off his cheek, and he said, "Horsefly." He said, "Why don't you get saved?" And I'm thinking, I'm 18 years old, Papa Ed, maybe when I'm 81, but not 18. I mean, whoever thinks about getting saved at 18, I wish I had that moment back. I wish I had that opportunity. I'd give anything to have enough sense and say, "Papa Ed, can you tell me how everything?" I'm sitting there thinking the thoughts that want me to think, "Papa Ed, I got plenty of time." You know that girl that made that selfie at that teenager? She probably thought she had plenty of time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm sitting there thinking the most stupid thought, Brother Mitchell. I thought, "Papa Ed, I got plenty of time. I'm 18 years old."
Yeah, that's right.
You know what he told me, Brother Ed? He said, because I told him, I said, "Papa Ed, maybe someday, not today." He told me this, Sister Karen. He said, "If you ever change your mind," he said, "I don't care what day it is." He said, "I don't care what time of day it is." He said, "You come down to my house." And he said, "I'll personally introduce you to Jesus."
Amen.
Now, Joanne, I thought about that differently than y'all going to think. I thought, anytime I want to, I get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, that's exactly what came to my mind. I thought, well, anytime I want to, Rita, I can just go down and Papa introduce me to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said, "Eddie, this is Jesus." I didn't know God. I didn't really know. The Bible don't like to retain God in their knowledge, and I was probably in the same category. I didn't want anything to do with God. God wanted something to do with me.
Yeah.
But I had a godly grandfather.
Amen.
And he just did not give up. He kept coming and coming and coming. Well, one day we built a bomb out of acetylene, and we set it off. Of course, it rattled the windows in the neighborhood, and here come my grandfather running around the garage there. And, I mean, he looked like a calf. Deer in the headlights like a calf, you know, that same new gate, and I mean, his eyes all big. He said, What's going on with that?" I said, "Pop, it's okay. We just made a bomb." He said, "A bomb? It ain't enough. I got to worry about you going to hell." He said, "Now I got to pray you won't blow yourself up before you get there." You know what? He did the sad what he didn't really want to hear. But, you know, he went back to the house, and no doubt he said, "Lord, you're going to have to help him." Anyway, I thought whenever I want to, I can get saved.
Right.
Carl, it wouldn't do long. Word come to me that my grandfather graduated this life.
Yeah.
And I want you to know all hope of being saved, boy, was somehow then took away. I thought the only person that even cared about my soul was gone. But he wasn't the only one.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus.
Right.
Yes.
The Bible said, "He come, Christ Jesus come in this world to save sinners." Paul said, "Who am I, Jesus?"
Right.
And he wanted me to be saved. I may not have understood everything back then, may not understand it all now, but I'll tell you one thing. God didn't give up on me. In the days of 34, I did get saved. But that grandfather, I thought, what am I going to do now? I can't go down there now. Anytime, any day, any hour of the day, and ask how to be saved. You know, the devil, he picked up on that. He said, "That's right. You know, you ain't got a chance. You ain't got a hope now of ever getting saved." But you know, the devil's a liar and the father of it. And he kept lying to me. And I just kept walking in those lies. Well, let me tell you something. The pleading's going to end. God that's pleading with people right now.
Yeah.
He's pleading, "Come unto me."
Yeah.
He's pleading, "Him that cometh me, I'll nowise turn away."
Amen.
He's prayerfully calling and waiting.
Amen.
And you know what? All that pleeding one day is going to end.
It is.
I've got two major points, and here they are right here. For some, it's going to end unexpectedly bad.
That's right.
When God calls a man a fool like he did, Luke chapter 12, verse 20, that's an unexpected end.
That's right.
In Luke chapter 12, there's a man, his crops have brought forth plenty.
Yeah.
And man, I'm telling you, he just like hit the lottery. I mean, he's well off now. And he said, "What shall I do with my goods?" He said, "This I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger and greater barns. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease.'" And the Bible said that night, God spoke to him and God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Yeah.
Whence shall those goods be?
Amen.
You see, that man made preparation to live, but he had to make preparation to die.
Right.
And God
right.
called him a fool for that, Ed.
Yes, he did.
In Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man that fared sumptuously. What that basically means is he didn't have no want of nothing. Man, he had everything and then some. And he had so much that even Lazarus ate of the crumbs that fell from his table. And I want you to know that the same thing happened to both of them. Lazarus died, and the rich man also died. The Bible said the rich man died, and he was buried. Lazarus dies, and praise God, Carolyn, he said, and the angels carried him. Praise God for that escort. I mean, hallelujah, what has caused Jordan alone? Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. I like that not being buried part there. But anyway, God said one thing to that rich man in Luke chapter 16. And I'm sure it haunts that rich man even today. For eternity, God tells that rich man one word. Verse 25, he says, remember. That's one of the things that haunts that rich man in hell today.
Yeah.
He remembers,
right.
Brother Ed.
Amen.
He remembers all those tracks.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
He remembers all those door slams.
Yeah.
Amen. He remembers all those excuses. You know, I'm glad my grandfather didn't give up.
That's right.
I'm glad he just kept coming.
That's
oh, we need to learn something from that. We get up too quick. We throw in the towel too early. I'm telling you, buddy, how should they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
How should they preach except they be sent?
Yeah.
And listen, I want you to know that man in that chariot, that Ethiopian eunuch in that chariot, he's sitting there reading the Bible to no benefit. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, go down and join yourself to that chariot. He come down. By the way, he's reading Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
And Philip comes up being wise. He the one of souls is wise.
Yeah.
And he said, understandest what thou readest? That Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me?
Amen.
The Bible said Philip began at that same scripture, Brother
That's
Mitchell,
right.
and he preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what that Ethiopian eunuch, he said something. He said, behold, here's water. What does the hand of man being baptized?
Yeah.
And Philip, you know, if you got the right Bible,
That's
this
right.
verse is in there.
That's right.
Y'all listen to the reading right here.
That's right.
Because this verse ain't in all Bibles.
No, it's not.
That verse 17 is not in every Bible.
It's not.
But in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, no, Acts chapter 8, verse 17, I believe it is. Pretty sure it's Acts 8, 17. Anyway, that verse 17 that I'm talking about, Philip tells that Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest, thou mayest.
Yeah.
You see, the Bible said in the last verse there in Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You see where the emphasis is there? And Philip said, hey, let me waste my time baptizing you if you don't believe. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said he commanded that chariot to be stopped. And him and Philip went down into the water. And Philip baptized that Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit called away Philip that the Ethiopian eunuch saw no more. And notice what happened to that Ethiopian eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing. Man, I'm telling you, when you get good and saved, you'll be rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love.
Amen.
But listen, that unexpected end, that rich man in hell, the Bible said, lifted up his eyes. God gave him one word.
Right.
That's right.
Who said that?
Carolyn,
God told that man in hell, remember. You know, that's sad. In hell, you have to remember why you're there.
That's
who
right.
you got to blame for. You know, the pleading's over now. The opportunity over. The end has come and you wasn't ready. And now the consequences of not being ready have come upon you. And in hell, he's remembering now all the times that he turned Lazarus down. All the times that he lived in denial. That unexpected end. Now this other unexpected end is really good. But for us, it's going to end unexpectedly good. God wants us to have an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God said, I know my thoughts concerning you, that they're good, not evil, to give you an expected end. Rita, I expect it end up. I expect to end up in heaven one day.
That's right.
I can't do nothing about that. God said he's going to give it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I expect one day to pick up a little gold dust. Amen.
Right.
I expect to run like a young boy again.
Come on,
I mean, take a lap or two.
Amen.
I'm just going to imagine that when they get to heaven, that they have to just stand back and wait for all of it to wear off a little bit. They go,
yeah.
And there's another one.
Yeah.
And here comes another. Woo! I mean, that's when you see what the eye has never seen, and when you hear what the ears never heard, and you behold the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, which is the prayer, it's probably going to have an effect on you. Probably going to take off like a missile.
Yeah,
right. Anyway, God gives us an expected end. I expect one day to be in heaven.
Yes.
And God's going to give it to me.
Amen.
He said to give you an expected end. I'm not going to leave out here unexpected.
Right.
I mean, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded they keep that without committing unto Him. I'm kind of like Paul. I'm expecting one day for Jesus to say, Eddie, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
He said, I'll finish my court. One day, I'll finish my court.
Yes.
He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord Himself shall give me, not me only, but all of those that love Him and look to His appearing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward one day, brother, and I took the expectation that Jesus is going to put a crown upon my brow and say, well done, I've got an expected end. God has already described how it's going to end for all the children of God. We expect one day to be in heaven, and Jesus confirmed it in John 14, verse 2. And He said, if it wasn't so, He said, I would have told you.
That's right.
I'm glad it is so. Oh, to get that expected end. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, I can't do that. I can blink my eye.
Right.
But a twinkle of an eye is so fast it can't even be captured by a camera.
Right.
That's right.
Jerry, we're all going to be changed.
That's right.
Amen.
Man, oh man. We're going to be like Him.
Yeah.
We're going to have a glorified body.
Yes, we are.
All the suffering's going to end.
All
the sadness is going to end.
Right.
All of the struggling is going to end.
That's right.
All the sarcasm is going to end. And only joy unspeakable is what we've got as an expected end. I'm telling you, praise God. God gave us exceeding great precious promises to us. Some people don't even know them, but they still apply.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, in an hour that we think not, He's coming. He said the day of the Lord will come. That's mentioned Matthew 24:44 and Luke 12:40 about His coming in an hour. You know, we haven't been here an hour yet. And yet He could still come even right now before we dismiss this service.
Amen.
That's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And I'm telling you, when He does come, this world is going to be in a terrible loss. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says the day of the Lord will come. It's coming. Listen, He will not delay His coming. Hebrews 10, 37. You forget about the old song, wait a little longer. Sweet Jesus, He's not going to wait.
No, we ain't.
We don't think about it much, but we ought to be ready.
That's right.
And watching, because He's coming.
Yes.
And my pastor preached a message like this one time, Rita. And he said, I want to tell y'all if I ever preach this message. Somewhere in this message, I'm going to take this songbook and I'm going to slap it on this pulpit just to show you how fast the Lord can come.
Yeah.
And about the time everybody got half asleep, he slapped that songbook down that pulpit and Chris Reese jumped all the way to the ceiling, young kid, and scared him to death. And he said, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Amen. Show up that quick.
Yeah.
The end of all things is at hand. If this thing goes on forever, we'll kill ourselves.
Yeah,
God had to intervene in Genesis chapter 6. He had to intervene, send the flood. He had to intervene in Genesis chapter, I believe it's 19, when He rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He had to intervene when He sent His Son down here.
Right.
And Now all we're waiting on him is to come and get us.
That's right.
Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
When he comes, I'm leaving.
Amen.
I'm not lingering.
No.
I want you to know, I'm leaving on the first load.
That's right.
I'm going first class. I'm going to be shouting all the way.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be called up.
That's right.
Called out. And gone. Somebody said America's got astronauts and Russia's got cosmonauts and God's got was not. Said he didn't walk for God and he was not. Because God couldn't.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to be taken. And praise God for the day. We'll have a fellowship handshake then for sure.
Amen.
I may not be able to describe heaven to detail, but I'll tell you this about heaven. It's my home.
Yeah.
I ain't home yet.
Right.
I'm going home one day. Hallelujah. The sooner the better. No wonder John,
right,
when he saw the horrors of Revelation,
yeah,
no wonder he said, even so,
that's
Lord,
right,
Jesus,
amen,
come quickly.
Yeah.
We need him,
right,
to come.
That's,
and
right,
I know a long servant of God's waiting,
right,
right now. I know he's pleading right now, but it's not going to be forever. But listen, when the end does come, if you're left behind, let me give you this advice. It's too late.
Yeah.
You forget about all that saved then.
Yeah.
The Bible said to those left behind, say a commentary.
Yeah.
Those left behind, the Bible said God will deliver them over to a delusion, a strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie and be damned because they receive not the love of the truth. God loves you and God gives you truth.
Yes.
He says, I love you. If you'll come to me today, I'll forgive you today. I'll save you today. I'll bless you today. I'll help you today. But then he went on to say, you will not come to me that you may have life.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. The end's coming. Ready or not, we used to play hide and seek. we count, you know, we'd count the 100 people running back there hiding, and we'd say, ready or not, here I come, and we'd try to catch them.
Right.
They'd try to get back to the tree. They called it home base back then.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm the one doing the counting, and I couldn't count to 10, much less 100. And I just mumble this, mumble that. But listen, I do remember this, Brother Larry. I'd say, ready or not, here I come. And I start looking.
Yeah. Right.
I'm looking for feet. I'm looking for colors. And I'd go over and I'd tag them. They'd be out. They'd have to wait for me to get the rest of them. And some of them be trying to run in.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that, ready or not.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
He's coming, Joy.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Right.
I wish he'd come right now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Amen.
Can you imagine, Joy, the rest of the day in heaven? Woo!
Amen.
Lord, God having provided some better thing for us.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that better thing. Woo!
Amen.
Oh my, Peter gives a good warning right here.
Yes.
The end of all things is at hand.
Yes, that's right.
Don't be deceived, my friend. This thing ain't going on forever.
No, it ain't.
I'm going to tell you right now, not only we live in numbered days, this world, the Bible mentions in 2 Peter chapter 3, according to the word of God,
uh-huh,
it's reserved unto judgment.
Amen.
It's living number days.
Yes.
And when those days are fulfilled, Brother Ed, this world is going to be, it's going to have to reckon to God that made it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody on it is going to have to reckon to God. I'm glad I've done been reconciled to God through
yes,
His Son.
Yes.
And I may not be able to explain or understand it, but I have experienced it. Somebody said it's better felt than told. And that is true. It's kind of hard to put it in words. It is better when you can say, praise God, I talked to a young man on the way to church this morning, and a preacher preaching on the radio was preaching on those verses, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, where Jesus said, many have said to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And he said that the preacher said, and God said unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said, that scares me. And I said, well, listen, he knows his. The foundation
right,
of God stands
right,
sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yes.
He said he's a good shepherd, knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. I said, if you'll back up to verse number 15 of Matthew chapter 7, you'll know why he spoke those two verses. He said, beware of false prophets
yes,
that come unto you in sheep's clothing. He said, I'll tell you, they're wolves. They're raven wolves inside the raven wolves. See, God gives a warning about being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells you what happens
right,
if you do be deceived. You're going to think you're going to go into heaven and you're going to hear the words, depart from me.
Yeah.
I never knew you. I'm glad not only I know him, I'm glad he knows me.
Yes.
And that's why when the end does come, I'm ready. Whether my life ends today, I'm ready. Whether this world ends today, I'm ready. No matter what.
Amen.
He said, be ye ready.
Yeah.
For you know not what hour your Lord does come. Father, we've done our best to present this truth from your word today. I don't know how the Word of God went today, but I pray, God, if there's someone here today that's not ready, I pray the urgency of God be upon them as a woman in travail with child. I pray they'd not be able to keep from stepping out and coming forward and make preparation before the day gets here. And they have an eternal regret to know that it slipped through their fingers to have a home in heaven. Lord, we're just a miserable instrument for God to use. We'll confess it before you and before these. But I pray, dear Father, in some way we've said something today that'll help someone, Lord, to come out of bondage, to come into freedom where Jesus makes sinners free. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jerry, would you please get a verse of invitation on him? And Sister Sharon, would you please help him? I'd like to ask everyone to stand. Like I said, I don't know your situation. I can only answer for Eddie Wade. I know there's peace in the valley for me. I know it's well with my soul. I know no matter what, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But if there's any doubt at all, the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin.
That's right.
Don't let it be like that. If you're not 100% sure you're saved,
number 113,
then you're in danger.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm 100%.
Amen.
I mean, anything less than that,
right,
you're in danger.
That's right.
Somebody said, if Jesus is not, if I'm anything, Jesus can't be everything. I believe it's what he put. If I'm anything, Jesus can't be everything. Listen, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's why faith pleases God.
Yeah.
Without faith, you can't please God. I know what I deserve, but I know also what I received.
First, the second verse.
Amen. If you need to come, come.
I wonder.
There are.